would, go ahead and open in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I hope all the mothers out there had a wonderful Mother's Day. Everybody have a great Mother's Day? Our Mother's Day plans kind of changed a little bit this year since our AC died and it's 85 some degrees in our house. So, and it won't be able to get fixed until Monday. So, we've got all sorts of fans and everything blowing. So, I had to make a rain check with my mom. We were going to have her to the house on Saturday for dinner, but with the oven and the grill and all that going, we're like, I don't think that's gonna work, you know. Happy Mother's Day. You can sweat in your food, you know. So, but you know, mothers are great, aren't they? Moms are just awesome. And you know, you can learn so much from your mom, and I hope you have throughout all your years. You know, those that are younger, you know, hopefully you got many more years to learn from mom. And I kind of chuckle with my brother and my sister and about our mom and you know, how, especially like my brother and I, how we were so prepared for boot camp. And it was all because of our mom. You know, as far as having everything in order and clean and straight and disciplined, you know, the drill instructors were like, what? Yeah, whatever. I have mom, you know? But no, we give her a hard time, but we love her. Because one of the greatest things, too, that I also learned from my mom was that how to care for those that normally aren't cared for. And really just, she had such a, or has really still to this day, such a spirit of hospitality. My house was always the house to come. I know my parents and my mom especially, because she spent most of the time with them. My mom was another mom to many, many, many of my friends. You know, that was always the hangout, and she never really refused them. You know, I'd say, hey, mom, can they all come over for dinner? Yeah, sure. So there'd be eight friends coming on over, and I always kind of chuckled. My dad always, you know, had to bear the brunt of it. One night coming home from work, he called to see what we were going to do for dinner. And my mom said, well, Shannon's got a bunch of friends over. Why don't you stop by for Kentucky Fried Chicken? So he bought a bunch of Kentucky Fried Chicken and had the buckets and everything and brought them in and set it down. And he went back to the bedroom to change. And by the time he got back, there was a chicken wing and a biscuit. That was all that was left. And me and my friends are all, you know, my dad's like, what? My mom's just, you know, hey, you know, but no one was refused. No one was refused in our house. And it really was, the spirit of hospitality that my mom displayed. And really, I think back and there's so many things that I learned. And I learned it from my mom. When I was younger, my dad worked out of town a lot. And so she really was the whole role. And I mean, she would take care of me and my brother. She would keep the house straight. She would keep us disciplined. She would teach us order. She would do Cub Scouts. She would do school events. I mean, there was always things going on. And don't mention birthday parties. Man, I can remember some of my birthday parties. I probably didn't know half the kids. It was just like, everybody come celebrate. Moms are awesome. You can learn so much from moms. And here on Mother's Day, I thought it'd be kind of cool to take a look at a couple other moms, but two moms that are mentioned in the Bible, and look at what they taught their children. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verses 3 through 5. It's a really great passage here, and it really just has a lot to say about how awesome and how important of a role moms play. Look at verse 3. It says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you right now and just thank you so much for this opportunity to preach your word. And to really just dive in again and really see what your word has to say on this subject. And Lord, I pray that we really take the time today and really honor our mothers and lift them up to you and just with thankfulness for them and their role in our lives. And Lord, I'm thankful for your word. And I just pray tonight as we look at this subject here, Lord, just I pray our hearts are just filled with your truth. Lord, use me tonight to share your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and help us all just be eager and ready to learn so we can go and live out your truth in the world around us. And we just thank you greatly. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Paul's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith here, young guy that he took under his wing and really mentored and really got him involved in ministry. And he's out on his own now. And Paul's writing a letter to him. And he's offering them some encouragement. And he says some great things about Timothy here. And one of the things that he mentions about Timothy is that Timothy has an unfeigned faith. An unfeigned faith. And I thought that was really cool. What a way to describe somebody in Christ. Unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned means sincere. Or to be without hypocrisy. In other words, Timothy had a sincere faith in Christ. It was without hypocrisy. In other words, when it came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, Timothy was the real deal. He was the real deal. He was somebody you could look to see, man, what does it mean to be in Christ? Man, take a look at Timothy. He's got an unfeigned faith. But you know what? Timothy wasn't born with an unfeigned faith. You know? I know I wasn't. I wish I was. It would have made things a lot easier. You know? But he wasn't born with an unfeigned faith. It was something that he had to learn. And that's what's really neat about this passage. Because we see that who he learned it from was his mom. But it doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't say, no, what you learned from your mom Eunice... No, because you know what? Eunice had it too, but she learned it from someone else. She learned it from her mom. Wow, you got two moms now. And the legacy of their upbringing. And all three of them are described as an unfeigned faith. You know, I kind of think it's kind of sad too to see that dad isn't mentioned in this passage. You know, what a sad kind of story. But what a great blessing that, man, we got mom right here stepping in and passing down their faith. And I thought as I was looking at this and as I was studying this out, you know, that idea of unfeigned faith, how important that is, that we have an unfeigned faith. You know, what does that mean? That means that when we go out in the community, when we go to our jobs, when we go to our schools, when we're out in the neighborhood, people look at us and go, that's what it means to be in Christ. It's that honest, pure testimony for Christ in our lives. And I wonder how many of you here today are saved because of somebody's unfeigned faith. I know I was. I watched my dad for years waiting for him to mess up. Oh yeah, he's preaching it good. I hear it, yeah. But I know, just wait. It's going to falter. But he never did. He had an unfeigned faith. It was real. It was right there. You knew where he stood. You knew who he loved. You knew who he served. And it was because of that that then I said, you know what? If he's got a faith like that, I know there's something to it. And so I want us to look at the example of two moms on the importance of demonstrating a sincere faith. Why is it important to demonstrate a sincere faith? Well, the first reason is because your faith can influence others. It can influence others. Look at verses 3 and 4. Look what Paul writes here. He says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. Without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Listen, observing others as they serve the Lord can be a great way to learn how to serve yourself. You know, I know a lot of times you talk to people who just placed their faith and trust in Christ, and they're starting to learn in the Bible, and one of the next questions that they have is, now what? Now what do I do? I placed my faith and trust in Christ. Now what do I do? And being able to see someone else's faith in action is one way of being able to learn how to walk in Christ. You can be an influence to others. Listen, as you see mature believers serving with a humble and sincere heart, it gives you a window into what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. I know I've shared it before, and I don't think you can say it enough, how awesome and important of a role that is. Listen, some of the greatest growth moments that I've ever had here at Crossroads, okay, was shoveling mulch with other believers. I know that sounds funny, but listen, when you're spending all day shoveling mulch, okay, we don't do it quietly. Man, there's all sorts of conversations going on. You get to learn so much about the Bible. But let me tell you, when it's hot and you're sweating and it's dirty and you're getting mulch in your shoes and it's poking you and it's not fun, okay, you really get to see the truth of someone's faith. And you know, when that older gentleman that's in his 60s and getting close to 70 and he's sitting there shoveling with a smile on his face praising God, I should be able to shovel mulch with a smile on my face praising God. You see a window into what it means to really be in Christ. You become a great influence to others. Man, it's amazing what you can learn just by watching someone and serving alongside them. It's what makes Walk Through Bethlehem so great. What an awesome opportunity to get intermixed with people you've never known. You know, there's countless people that I've met. I'm still trying to match up names because you see so many faces, but you get to see Christ in action. I think I shared before Walk Through Bethlehem with a charge about Mike Kesey. When I first started and walked through Bethlehem, when I first became a member here, all right, he was over the Roman soldiers. That's what I did. And listen, people didn't know me. I was the new guy. Who's this? But let me tell you what, when I showed up, I was instantly part of the team. And it was all because of him. And being able to see how he handled new people, how he handled trouble visitors, you know, watching him and just seeing his faith in action. You can be an influence to others. Why is it so important to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk? It's to be that influence. It's to be able to help somebody see what it means to be in Christ. You know, you can watch somebody and you grow and you learn and you see what it means to serve with a sincere heart, with humility. And then as a result, what a great testimony you are. You're an influence. And listen, it starts with learning God's Word, and that's important. You got to get grounded in God's Word, and that's where we learn about it. But you can't let it stop right up in here. It's got to get down into your heart, and it's got to get down into your feet and hands. And you got to get out there and put it into action. You know, what did Paul write to the Philippians? In chapter 4, verse 9, he said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Listen, I can guarantee you that Lois and Eunice, okay, put their faith into action. And that's how Timothy saw it. They didn't just preach at him. They didn't just make him memorize Scripture. But he saw it lived out in their lives. They influenced him through their unfeigned faith. Listen, much of what I've learned about applying God's Word in my life was done by watching others. Watching others. You know, listen, when I knew that my heart and desire was to be a pastor, I knew that someday I was going to be up here on the platform preaching God's Word. So let me tell you, I watched every single one of the pastors. How does Pastor Dan do it? What is he doing? What's Pastor Rob doing? Larry. You know, I think I spent too much time looking at Larry because I find myself doing some of his mannerisms. You know, But yeah, you watch. You know, is he the real deal? How does he handle problems? How does this person handle struggles? You watch, you observe. It's their unfeigned faith. It's that reality. And listen, an unfeigned faith isn't that false, I'm so holy. Okay? An unfeigned faith isn't, I am perfect and follow me. No, it's real. It's, you know what? I messed up today. I said something stupid and I hurt your feelings. That's not Christ-like and I want to make it right. Wow, how awesome that is that. You know, it's like what Pastor Dan was saying with our kids. You know, if we go to our kids when we handle a situation wrong, we ask them to forgive us. Man, it makes all the difference. That's an unfeigned faith. It's real. It's without hypocrisy. Because everybody knows we make mistakes, so don't try and hide it. God knows it too. You know, you're not fooling him at least. But no, that's the whole idea. Why? Because then you'll be an influence to others. Listen, Paul here, which is really cool, even Paul himself was influenced by the unfeigned faith of Timothy. See, that's kind of the cool thing about unfeigned faith is it doesn't always necessarily go from top down. It doesn't always go from the mentor down to the one being discipled. Sometimes it's the disciple that just, wow, is an awesome influence and a blessing to the teacher or the leader. Look what Paul says here in verse 3. Now, he's writing to Timothy. He's thinking about Timothy's faith and the faith of his mother and grandmother. And he says, look what he says. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Because of Timothy's unfeigned faith, it made Paul thankful. Every time he thought of Timothy, man, he wanted to praise God. Every time he thought of him in his prayers, man, it brought back good memories. What a great influence he was to Paul. That's what's cool. It works both ways. Man, there's nothing more exciting, more awesome than when you get to learn something from somebody you're discipling. You know? I got several guys that I meet with once a week, and I'm just taking them through Scripture and just helping them grow. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll share something with me, and I'm just like, wow, that's really cool. I never thought of that. You know, that is just the awesomest thought, or that's the coolest viewpoint of Scripture, or wow, that is awesome that you went out and did that. I'm still chicken. I can't do that yet, you know? I'm still working on that. But it's a great influence. It's like, you know what? Man, they're growing. Let me continue the process. Man, he's filled with thankfulness. Do you have people like that in your life? That you think about them and they're a great influence because of their faith? Man, they just fill you with thanksgiving to the Lord. What a great blessing that is. You know, having an honest and sincere faith can influence many people. You know, think about Timothy. Here, his mom was influenced by his grandmother. He was influenced by his mom. And now what is he doing? He's going out and influencing others in the church. And he's carrying the process on. All because of that one woman way back there, Lois, just had an unfeigned faith and she stuck to it. Listen, demonstrating an unfeigned faith can be a great way to influence others. But another thing is, why should we demonstrate this unfeigned faith, this real sincere faith? Is because your faith can become a source of encouragement for others. Not only can it be an influence to help them change and help them grow, man, but it can lift up their spirits when they're down. It can be a great source of just encouragement for them when the trouble comes creeping in. Listen, not only can it influence, but it can encourage. Look what Paul says here in verse 4. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Why? That I may be filled with joy. Man, he's greatly desiring to see Timothy, and as a result, he'll be filled with joy. Man, Paul's or Timothy's unfeigned faith was such a source of encouragement for Paul. Here Paul is traveling around. Now he's in prison. He's faced all of these hardships. And here's Timothy, one that he mentored and trained up, and he's still going. He's still going. He's still praising God. He's still out there serving. He's still hanging on his faith. And when Paul thinks about him and when Paul sees him, brings great joy. Great joy. This is cool, that phrase there, greatly desiring. He says he's greatly desiring to see Timothy. You know what greatly desiring means? It means to dote upon. To dote upon. You know, like grandparents, they always dote upon their grandchildren. They can do nothing wrong, you know, and they're always getting them things, and they're always just, oh yeah, taking them wherever they go and whatnot. And then, you know, you're in the middle of trying to get order and everything, and the grandparents come in, you're like, ah, and the kids are all, you know, it's doting upon. No, it's great. It's just, he wants to just focus on Timothy. It also means to intensely crave. Intensely crave. You ever get a craving? You know? I've been going about 3 months now. I have no donuts, no cookies, no nothing. I've cut it all out. I gave myself 2 days each year. My birthday and Christmas. Not Christmas season, okay? Christmas Day. I'll probably have on those days, you know, donuts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, but you get these cravings. I was joking with Shauna. Kathy Bratcher got her a candle, and it was like a cinnamon sugar donut candle. And I'm like, oh, that's great. We're going to be smelling donuts all through the house. I was like, Shauna's going to wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm going to be sitting on the edge of the bed with the candle going, you know, intense craving. That's what Paul has here. That, you know, that's what the grandparents have for the grandkids. They want to be around them. They want them there. Why? Because they bring joy. They bring joy. And that word joy there, okay, is really cool. You know, when we think of joy sometimes, you know, we think of the woo, everybody's like, yay, bouncing around and balloons flying and fireworks. You know, joy, but that's not the idea of joy here. The idea of joy here is cheerfulness. It's that bright smile. It's that you know, glow on your face. But it also means calm delight. You know, you ever have those moments where it's just, everything is great, it's awesome. You know, I kind of think it when my two-year-old Mackenzie says, I love you, Daddy. You know, it's just like, oh, that's that calm delight. It's like, yeah. You know, and that's what he is, man. He's desiring because Timothy just brings him joy, just that calm delight. He's in prison, folks. He's in prison. And he's just going to have that calm delight, that cheerfulness. And listen, that's what your faith can do in the life of someone else. You know, have you ever asked yourself, what does my faith do in someone's life? You know? Do people think of us and have that calm delight? Or do they think of us and go, ee? You know? I hope it's not ee. I hope it's calm delight. It's such a great joy when you have people that you serve with and you work with and whatnot, that when they show up in the room, you're just like, yeah, everything is good now. Everything is good. You know, when I was up in Bunnell, there was some very chaotic times. And I remember at the height of some of the chaotic times up there and just things not working well, in one of my services, in came one of the members from Crossroads that I had served with for many years down here. And let me tell you what, it just... because that person was such a servant and such a blessing to Sean and I in the years past. And just that person coming in the room. Why? Because I knew their heart. I knew their faith. And to see that they took that time to come that way to be a blessing. Man, it just brought that great joy, that great sense of encouragement. And just made things a lot much easier to take. Listen, that's what your faith could do in the life of someone else. That's what the faith of Lois did in the life of Eunice. And that's what the faith of Eunice did in her son Timothy. And as a result, Timothy had the same effect on Paul and on others in the ministry. Listen, why is it so important to demonstrate this idea of unfeigned faith? Well, because you'll be an influence to others. You'll be a source of encouragement to others. But I think one of the most important aspects of it of all is because your faith can affect the next generation. The next generation. Listen, Timothy's faith had a great impact on Paul, and it was a great source of encouragement. But what it did is, and what it shows is that an unfeigned faith, truly shown, truly taught, truly just demonstrated, can affect further generations. Listen, Timothy had his unfeigned faith. Why? Because of his mom, who had an unfeigned faith. Why? Because of her mom. And we don't know what happened after Timothy. We don't have the records, but I'm sure it carried on from there. We don't know if Timothy had a family or not, but we can pretty much sure that if he did, we bet you his kids had an unfeigned faith, and hopefully so on and so forth. What's amazing about this principle, though, is that it doesn't just cover families. You know, you have a great opportunity to be an influence to your children or to your cousins or to your nephews or your nieces, all those people that are close to you. But it really doesn't just stop there with family. That same concept is in ministry as well. You know, I look around the church here and I see people of many ages. From the youth all the way up to the elderly. You know, at some point in time, we're all going to face eternity. We can try and do all the things that you can, you know, stretching your face and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, to try and, you know, extend it. But guess what? You're still getting old. And we need to be thinking about the next generation to come. You know, Pastor Dan put the thing up here with the stats showing how many people were dying and how many people were being born. There's always more people coming in. There's always another generation. And listen, your unfeigned faith isn't just going to affect your family members. It'll affect people here in church. And we see this principle all throughout Scripture. Hold your place here in Timothy real quick and just flip one book to the back, Titus. Titus chapter 2. This is really cool. Titus 2. Look at verses 1 through 8. Paul's giving some insight and some tips and some encouragement to another guy who's out there pastoring. And he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now look at this. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." So he says, okay, old guys in the church, be sober, all right? Be sound in the faith. Have an unfeigned faith. He goes on to say, the aged women likewise. The older women have an unfeigned faith. "That they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Why? "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." What he says there is he's showing the same example. He says, look, I praise you, Timothy, for your unfeigned faith because you learned it from your mom who learned it from her mom. But listen, this same principle holds true. You can influence the next generation. You older couples, you've got great experience, great life history. Latch on to younger couples. Teach them. We have more and more youth growing up today that don't know the simplest things. I ask around because I chuckle because of this. Listen, when a button breaks off a shirt in our house, guess who sews it on? I do. You know why? Because I was taught it in the Marine Corps. You didn't know that, did you? You learned how to sew in boot camp. You do, because you got to take care of your own stuff. But the reason why I say that is when I ask others, like young college kids and whatnot, hey, can you know how to sew? Do you know how to sew on a button? No. Do you know how to do this? No. Just basic stuff. It's not being passed on. It's not being passed on. You have a great opportunity to help these younger couples know what it means to be a couple for Christ. You know, college guys, take on the youth. They're going to be in your shoes. Teenagers, help the kids. Because soon they'll be a teenager. And you can help them navigate. That's the idea. Don't let your unfeigned faith just start when you're older and married. Okay? It starts now. Because you can influence, you can encourage, you can help prepare the next generation to serve Christ. That's one of the things I love when I look at the children's ministry. What do we got? We got teens helping in the children's ministry. We got some of my college and career people helping with the teens, and so on and so forth. It's great. Don't let your unfeigned faith just stop with your family or stop where you're at. Share it with someone else. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you see the same idea. He tells Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." It's all about passing on your legacy, passing on your testimony, passing on what you know. So that as the younger generations come up, they're more prepared. And listen, let me tell you what, if you get them prepared young, wow, they'll be more prepared to go out there and serve Christ. I think about if I knew now, or I knew then, what a lot of these teenagers know now, my life would have been totally different. Totally different. I didn't get all that until my mid-20s. You know? Take what you learn. Affect the next generation. So if having an unfeigned faith is the key, how do you develop an unfeigned faith? Listen, it starts with humility. It starts with realizing that it's not about you. It's all about Christ. You're not the focal point of everything, but Jesus Christ is. Once we make Him the focal point of your life, that's where it starts. And then you start growing and learning God's Word. Start getting in God's Word, learning it. Getting involved in Bible Institute, doing things like that. It takes time and prayer, just one-on-one, you and the Lord. Being honest, sharing your heart, being truthful. You know, Paul says sharing the truth in love, that's not just with others, it's with yourself. You're not truthful with yourself, you're never going to change. Besides, God knows it anyways. You might as well just be truthful and change. Lay it at His feet. That helps you be humble. But then you got to get in that great Christian fellowship. And that's where you're able to pass on your faith. That's where it gets passed on to you. You pass it on to others. You have that fellowship to be encouraged, to be instructed, to be held accountable. You know, when you go astray, somebody goes, hey, need to come on back. This is what Scripture says. You're right. And veer back in. Veer back in. Those three things are so important. Having your study time, your prayer time, and your fellowship time. It's times like this that we get to observe and see and learn and grow. Pray together. Sing together. Worship the Lord together. It's where we get our unfeigned faith. And as we just let our faith just shine forth, you can be a great influence to others, be a great source of encouragement to others, and you'll be helping to prepare the next generation.